Jared, propose me a cold open.
Propose to you in the cold open? Steven, no. Will you take me on your honeymoon?
No. You're paying your own way.
But I can come.
No.
No.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where the only thing greater than Sugar's hatred of Randy is Maddie's inability to read the room. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, who else can read the room? Are you reading the room?
Yes, I'm doing the psych thing where I'm like squinting and then details pop out that the mentalist copied. I don't know what you're referring to with Maddie not being able to read the room, honestly.
Maddie celebrates so well. Like, he is out there having a great time, no matter what is going on around him. Like, celebrating the cookies to Randy's face after Randy is very pissed off about the cookies.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Celebrating Marcus going home.
That one's true. Yes, I kind of forgot about his reaction to the cookies because it was so sugar-focused. They were not sugar cookies, but the rest of the time when he's dealing with Randy, it's actually very much like, hey dude, don't do this. You gotta chill. Very level-headed. But he's like a kid who gets excited.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves again though. Which usually when we do that, it means we're enjoying the episodes.
Sure.
Because we want to talk about it right away.
Are you having a good time?
I am. This was an interesting one.
Uh-huh.
This was the consequences of our own actions episode.
Things build up to this, and then, okay, yeah.
I just know that the boomers loved this guy. The lead-addled boomers were obsessed with him.
Probably.
He just tells it like it is, Stephen.
I just tell it like it is.
And that is bigotry.
That's just code for I'm an asshole.
Yeah, and usually deeply problematic.
Yeah. How's it going? I haven't seen you since yesterday.
Yeah, and then I'll see you again 7 times this week.
That's
as we
not
talked
true.
About. No, it's not. It's not that many times, but it's a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I have a good time doing this.
I do too. It's great. This is a good show.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think it's a good show, Jared.
Yeah, I had rehearsal before this. Had a friend's birthday party last night. The theme was medieval. So I went to the thrift store and got like a women's blouse, but it just looked like a Ren Faire shirt. Mm. Like it had like the big puffy sleeves. It was a white shirt. It was like, it looked like knit. It's really good. Like I'm going to use it when I go to the Ren Faire this summer. Cause it was like, oh, this is, and it fits me perfectly. I was like, this is a crazy thing to just find in a thrift store. But that's why I fucking love thrift stores.
Mm.
So good.
Nice.
But yeah, it was fun. I had my broadsword on my hip all night. It was pretty fun. Just walking through Chicago with a broadsword.
Did anyone question you?
No. The party wasn't within walking distance of my condo. Like,
okay.
It was like a 15-minute walk.
Because I feel like if... I don't even know. Would a cop like flash his lights and be like, what the hell was that?
I think it was obvious enough that I was... Like that it was cosplay or like a costume. Because uh-huh. I was also with another friend who was in a corset.
Sure.
So I think it's one of those things where it's like, well, okay. I wish I would... I don't have a sheath. So it was just kind of...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's a stage combat weapon, so it's blunt on all sides, and I think it's actually aluminum.
Wait, this man isn't dangerous. He's just a nerd.
He's a fucking dweeb.
Nerd.
How have you been in the last 24 hours?
Been all right. I did a couple things.
You saw a show.
I saw a show. I saw a one-woman show, which is incredible in itself.
One-woman musical.
Yeah, like singing. A majority of the time, there were very few actual spoken words.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's not an easy thing. It was like the director was talking to us and said we needed someone who could do 2.5 octaves. And I'm like, yeah, ouch.
Did it keep your focus?
It was quick enough that it mostly kept my focus.
90 minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I struggle with one-man shows on the
same
whole premise of, like, you're not talking to everyone. Anyone.
Correct.
Like, you're solely pushing the plot forward, and...
Actors are best when they're working off of other actors.
I agree. Even if it's a two-person show.
Now,
least...
I say that, but I'm directing a monologue play very soon.
Sure. But, okay. In the monologue play, we change.
Yes, there's still three actors.
Yeah. So at least with that, there's some sort of tricking the brain of the audience and, okay, the story's progressing. Things are moving. In this, you just have to, like, keep up. All right, we're talking about a new person. We're talking about a new guy.
It's like somebody telling a story.
Yeah.
Rather than you seeing the story.
Yeah. It was 75 minutes long, which is about where it needed to be. 75 minutes, one act. Great.
Yep.
And honestly, my biggest problem with the show was I was sitting in a bar stool, and I always forget that sitting in a bar stool is nice until about 50 minutes in, and then you're like, I just want to, like, stand up, but I can't stand up.
Yeah. Well, especially because you're not, like, if you're sitting in a bar stool at a bar, you're, like, leaning on the bar.
Uh-huh.
Not when you're watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
That you're turned around, your back's to the bar. Yeah.
So, that's that. And yesterday, we're in the Revenge of Minnesota series for basketball.
Yeah, I think that's a hockey jersey, isn't it?
This is a hockey jersey.
Okay.
So playoffs for NBA started yesterday. Playoffs for NHL start today.
Okay, when we're recording, which is Easter.
Happy
420 to those that celebrate.
Happy 420, praise it. Anyway, the Timberwolves absolutely kicked the crap out of the Lakers yesterday, which makes me real happy.
Okay.
Because the Lakers originated in Minneapolis, and then they transitioned to LA. It's a big thing.
The hatred still runs deep.
The hatred runs deep. That, and I don't like Moneyball teams.
Oh, sure. I'm really glad the NFL has a salary cap.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Because, boy, it sure makes Major League Baseball unwatchable.
A lot of things make Major League Baseball unwatchable.
But NBA does kind of have a salary cap. It's not as strict as the NFL.
Sure.
Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
And
it'd be tough, too, with smaller teams, I feel like.
It is. Like, small market teams have always struggled in the NBA.
No, sorry. I meant with, like, you have less players on a team.
Oh.
So, you have to fill out a 53-man roster for a football team. So, it's easy. Like, a salary cap is easier to implement because you also have minimums of what people can get paid and all that kind of stuff. And, like, that could work in the NBA. But the superstars are going to want way more money than you could, like... It'd be easier to get them in and just have, like, some other guys, I guess. I don't know. It's easier to round out a smaller team than it is a bigger team. Mm-hmm. So money has to go more places for a 53-man roster.
We're in a different spot than we were 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the big trend was, let's make these super teams of take these unbelievable players and put three of them on a single team. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of gone away. Now there are more big stars on smaller teams, is more beneficial to me. Like, I like that better. At least every market has something to watch. And yeah, I don't know. I just like seeing these major market teams flounder and get their ass kicked by the smallest market.
Minnesota. Now, see, I've heard of them bringing in golden retrievers to play basketball, but flounders to play basketball?
I'm just going to sit here in this silence.
You should leave that whole silence in.
You know what else I'm going to leave in? Emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. You can follow us on Patreon. We have to spin our spinner wheel for our Patreon.
And
bonus.
I'm so sorry if the Patreon episode comes out late, because it's probably gonna.
It's probably gonna, just with where my honeymoon and your show lands.
With us sprinting through Gabon.
But who knows? There are some topics on there that we don't necessarily need to watch a bunch of things.
That's true.
So we're going to find out.
We'll see.
Anyway, first email is from Tyler. Tyler says, about Marcus. In October 2013, Marcus went back to Africa for a medical mission in Nigeria. In 2020, he appeared on the Fox dating show Labor of Love, where contestants competed in challenges and went on dates that tested their parenting and personal skills and made it to the final three before being eliminated.
I wonder, is he like a parent, or is this people that like want to be parents? Like, is he like a single dad?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know the premise of that show.
Sure.
I'm assuming it's you're either a dad or you want to be a parent.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tyler. Connor's episode 8 email. Connor says, I know some of Randy's statements on the episode are not the best. I will say that he apologized right after the season and gets along well with Crystal and Sugar now. He's actually one of the nicer alumni on what was Twitter to me, and definitely is a nice guy under the Grinch persona. Corinne reminds me of a more vulgar version of Anne Robinson on Weakest Link, with her ripping other contestants to shreds, where sometimes the humor falls flat and is too much, and other times it's funny. Did you ever watch The Weakest Link?
Yeah, when I was a kid. I liked it.
I liked it too. And then they updated it with Jane Lynch as the host, and I thought that worked really well.
Is it still on?
It was during the 2020 game show boost when...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's still on. If it is, I'm all for it.
I will say, I looked up Labor of Love. It only went one season.
That tracks.
In this dating reality show with a twist hosted by Kristen Davis, a woman who is ready to start a family must choose amongst aspiring fathers-to-be who go through challenges that put their parenting and partnership skills to test.
Sure, sure, sure.
So it wasn't necessarily that he had kids already.
Okay. He is all ready for having... He's got the diapers in his backpack. He's good to go.
He has a freezer full of sperm.
Oh, God.
He's ready to go.
I really wanted to have that baby. Anyways, I am working on we're talking to contestants at the end of the season. No word to Jared who. We can't tell.
Okay.
Two-part question.
I hope it's not Randy now.
Two-part question. Who do you guys think is playing the best game to win? And I know Crystal is a big fan of Sandra Diaz Twine, as they are from the same hometown.
Oh, cool.
Funny.
I think it's Kenny, but hot take, Sugar.
Okay.
Everyone's constantly underestimating her. I think before this episode, I would have said Sugar. I think now I say Kenny, because Sugar swerving out of her way to not just get rid of Randy, but to humiliate him,
yep,
is going to hurt her on the jury,
mm-hmm,
obviously.
Right.
With Randy and both of his alliance members, Bob now has ammunition against her because she's the one who set this whole thing up. Bob looked miserable. Like, I think she might have just tanked her whole jury pool now. But before this episode, it was her. Now I say Kenny.
Okay. Yeah,
I do think she will have a, like, without that incident, would have a very good final tribal, though. I think she's quite articulate.
Yeah. I'm not going to answer just because I have some things in my brain where I'm like, that is not fair to say because I know where this is going.
Hot take, Maddie's actually in a really good spot, too.
Mm.
Because the jury likes him. Like, Randy and I think Charlie and Marcus, like, they know him more than the other ex-Fong people.
Sure.
Like, they don't know Kenny or Crystal that well. So, and he's built, like, a positive relationship with them, it would seem.
Mm. Okay.
And he's just a goofy guy.
He is a goofy guy. Continuing on the Crystal train, I've noticed that some of Crystal's blow-ups are strategically based, and when someone tries to either go after her strategically or get on her lack of challenge prowess, she gets in arguments that help deflect attention off of herself. She's playing a great defensive game.
I agree.
I don't think she's playing as great as a defensive game as Sandra due to her name being written down a lot.
Yeah.
But since she has Kenny as her thinking piece, she's playing a great defensive game to deflect attention off of her. Kudos to her lasting as long as she has. Some of her arguments are genuine annoyance/anger, like Randy, but those are warranted. Lol.
Agreed.
Thoughts on her gameplay and the rest?
She's playing pretty well, too. I think, if not for Kenny, like, if Kenny goes, then I think Crystal's in, like, the best spot along with Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Crystal would have a hard time beating Kenny at a final tribal because Kenny has done the same things as her without the personal stuff that isn't necessarily her fault, but sure, will still impact the jury. Yeah. If she would have gone home, like, let's say the ace vote, she goes home. My analysis of her would have been like, we kind of got robbed of seeing her, like, who she could be,
mm-hmm,
because she was put in really, really bad circumstances early in the game and, you know, didn't perform well in challenges as well.
Sure.
But now in the last few episodes, seeing her, like, come to life is awesome.
I truly like Crystal.
Me
too. I think Crystal's a fun character. Right. I think we get bogged down a little bit in the things are really tough, and that pushes Crystal to the breaking point sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
And Randy pushes Crystal to the breaking point sometimes.
Yeah.
I think she would be much more fun to watch in situations where she's thriving.
I wonder if she's a good swimmer. Because if she's a good swimmer, I think she would have done a lot better in challenges on island seasons.
Sure.
And losing this much impacted her way more than a normal person because of her pedigree as an Olympic athlete.
Hmm.
Like, I think she took it very personally, and that kind of blew up her game for early in the season.
Okay.
And now she's past it.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, case in point, I like Crystal.
Yeah.
Last email from Michael C. Michael says, this is episode 7, to answer your question on why 2014/2015 had so many season ranking updates, that would have been when season 30 aired, and also during the time of Second Chance season voting, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So there was a big focus on fandom engagement at the time. I expect a lot of podcasts and other things will do something similar for season 50 next year, too.
That makes sense.
I think this twist might be the most I disagreed with Jared on liking something.
Okay.
Marcus undeniably got screwed over by this inserted second swap. I can see why Marcus is still upset about it, even years after the fact. The only thing that saves it from being the worst swap screw job that is that Marcus played the previous round poorly by choosing to keep Susie over Dan.
Yeah, and treating Susie badly for so long.
Had he done that, I think it's more likely Dan votes with the Codas than Susie, but Marcus did have potential safety in the form of an idol and threw it away. On the other hand, if it's a traditional 10-person merge vote, I don't see Susie forcing a tie due to her risk-adverse nature. Maybe she would, due to her closeness to Maddie from original tribes.
I think it comes down to who wins that immunity challenge, then.
Mm.
Like, if you have the numbers with the immunity, you are... Well, like, if she's the one that... If it's fire-making at the merge, like, if they move that one to that spot and she wins that challenge, maybe she does force the tie because she's still safe no matter what.
Yeah. I'm cool to do it. This isn't going to affect me.
Right, yeah.
Mm. I'm not sure why you think Marcus didn't have much content prior to this episode, though. He's had 3+ confessionals in 5 of the previous episodes.
Really?
With 1-2 in the other ones. He was a major narrator in the season and actually was the edgic pick to win based on the editing tropes at the time.
Wow, I guess I just... It wasn't the focus then. It's just because there was a clown show happening on the other side.
His edit was similar to Aris, Yule, Earl, both in the amount of confessionals and content of them.
I guess it's just because the Fong people have felt like the protagonists of the season.
Mm.
Like, it's a little bit of... I love Panama, so I use that as an example all the time of, like, the crazy tribe and then the normal tribe. And the crazy tribe are the people that make it further, it would seem. So we get a, and they're the ones going to tribal. So everything about them feels important, and the other people feel, like, interesting, but not like they're driving the action. And then all of a sudden we get a lot of confessionals. And maybe it's also the content of those confessionals of Marcus being like, I'm totally safe. I'm going to walk away with this game. And it's like, these are very telling to put these right here.
But I think that's a good comparison with Aris, and Aris is probably the best comparison, where he is this physical powerhouse.
Yeah.
He is kind of the mastermind of what's going on here, and then suddenly he gets the knees chopped out from under him.
Yeah, except Aris didn't.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I also, like, I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree, but that's fine. That's part of the point of, like, a subjective show, that Marcus got screwed over, partially because, yes, it was a twist in that it screwed up his plans, but I don't think his plan was that good. Like, the Shrek alliance not valuing the other people in their alliance is the reason Marcus goes home. Like, him not shoring up with Susie that we see, like, Susie not trusting him being very easy. Like, it was not a hard ask to get Susie to jump to the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, she was ready to go. And we saw previous conversations that were handled very poorly by that whole alliance of being like, Susie, are you going to fuck us over? And it's like, that's not how you treat people that are valued members of your alliance. That's how you treat people that you're just trying to use to get to a certain spot. And she knows that. They underestimated her the whole way.
And it's hard to say to what would happen, because if you get in a situation where Marcus, Corinne, and Charlie are very clearly the power players, I'm assuming a lot of those players aren't just going to sit and let it happen.
Right. And also, Sugar has an idol, so if she's on the other side of that, like, you could, even if you merge, you could end up with Sugar using the idol mm-hmm. to flip the script, and yeah.
Although, if you're rolling with Bob and Susie at the time as, like, your five, I could kind of see the two of them rolling over and dying.
What do you,
Mean? Take me to five, and then they just don't have a good backup plan?
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you'd think that, and then, like, as a contestant, and just kind of take that for granted, and then Susie, like, backstabs them because of that. Like, don't underestimate other people on Survivor.
Agreed. I see Susie doing it more than I see Bob doing it.
Rolling over?
No, willing to make a move somewhere around the, like,
I agree.
Seven area.
Yeah, Bob's more loyal.
Yeah. Anyway. Gabon is / was notorious in the editing analysis community for being the season that broke Edgic for the simple reason that Marcus was the consensus pick with everyone else, except Randy having episodes with zero confessionals.
Oh, okay.
And lol at the idea of Randy winning with his negativity.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was my... I didn't pick a... Well, I guess...
Oh, yeah, we gotta pick a...
Because Randy was...
Randy was
my
pick.
Vote
yeah.
on in episode one. I would have changed it at the merge if I had remembered. Yeah, I'm gonna.
We'll circle back at the start of this episode.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you're liking Crystal. I think she's a great character and she's really coming into her own now. Kenny, I'm not a fan of for reasons that I'll discuss in a future email.
Oh.
Overall, I really like Gabon and I think it makes a fun watch, at least up until this point. We'll have to see how the rest plays out. The next episode has one of my all-time favorite reward challenge moments between Randy and Maddie.
I'm
curious about this thing that I don't necessarily know about Kenny.
Kenny, yeah.
A gamer having a moment that makes you not like him makes me go,
Who said some questionable things about, like, or has been very thirsty for the attention of women?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, in a way that, like, he's never given off, like, a threatening vibe, but he's very, every woman he's been around is like, and she's hot.
And she's hot. Anyway, that's all for the emails. We have one last piece of business to wrap up here. We got to spin our spinner wheel for the Patreon. Reminder, you can follow us on Patreon. If you follow us at the $1 tier, you can listen to any of these off-topic episode.
Off-the-buff episodes.
Yeah, off-the-buff episodes that we put out. If you follow us at the $5 tier, you can suggest things for these off-the-buff episodes. So right now, we have 17 things on the wheel I'm excited about. So we have Big Brother Season 6, Jared Creates a Survivor Season, Pirate Master, ABC's Whodunit, Double Indemnity, a movie from 1944, Carry On, a Netflix movie, Solitary, Top 5 Movies or Musical Movies, Top board / video games, top travel locations, 3 to 5 shows you reference the most, The Amazing Race Season 7, The Conversation, a Gene Hackman movie, Top Secret. I'm kind of excited for that one.
Wait, is it called Top Secret or is it something that is Top Secret?
No, it's called Top Secret.
Okay.
It's a movie.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a parody spy movie.
Oh, okay.
A Tour of Chicago, your favorite places, bars, restaurants, etc. Ranking Disney animated movies. And ranking the best / worst video game movies. So, let's spin that wheel. This is always awkward. Oh. Ooh, our first dip into The Amazing Race.
Okay.
This is The Amazing Race Season 7, as suggested by Bro My God. Thank you, Bro My God. We will go do that. But for now, bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on November 27th of 2008 on Thanksgiving. This is a Thanksgiving episode. They chose Thanksgiving to bury Randy.
Yeah, sure, why not? Thanksgiving episode that we're watching on Easter.
Yeah,
that's kind of holidays.
Funny. Yeah. A couple things that happened the week between episodes. YouTube hosts the largest ever live broadcast, YouTube Live. So that was earlier than I would expect it to be. I thought YouTube was only like video uploads for a long time, but yeah, all right, they got into that early. Hawaii is estimated to be in a recession. And then Geffen Records releases...
Did you say Hawaii?
Yeah. Economists at the University of Hawaii report that the state entered recession the previous quarter based on drop in tourist figures.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize we were breaking down recession by state.
Me either. Geffen Records releases rock band Guns N' Roses' sixth and to date last studio album, Chinese Democracy.
Mm.
8 years in production with costs over $13 million. It is the most expensive rock album ever made. Steven, can you name a single song that isn't the name of the album off of that album, Chinese Democracy?
I definitely listened to this album, and I remember not liking it.
It's because it's not a good album.
But it's so expensive, Jared. Surely when you throw money at things, it works out.
I didn't know development hell could exist for music.
It can. Artistic, like getting in your own way and saying it's not perfect enough and then screwing yourself over. Sometimes simpler is better.
Oftentimes simpler is better, and art through adversity and all of that. 10 coordinated attacks by Pakistan-based terrorists kill 164 and injure more than 250 in Mumbai. That's sad. And that's it. I should have done that one not last.
Shouldn't have ended on the sad
Shouldn't
thing.
Have ended on the sad one. The top five movies, we're going to talk about number five. Number four is Bolt. Number three, Quantum of Solace. Number two, Twilight. And number one, Four Christmases. But the one we're going to talk about this episode, Australia.
Australia?
Steven, are you familiar with Australia?
I'm familiar with the continent.
With the globe on the brink of World War II, Lady Sarah Ashley, Nicole Kidman, travels from Britain to Australia to inspect a cattle ranch she inherited, reluctantly joining forces with a rugged local known as the Drover, Hugh Jackman. She sets out on a cattle drive across hundreds of miles of harsh terrain to save her ranch. When they finally reach the town of Darwin, they must contend with the same Japanese bombers that just rained death upon Pearl Harbor. What do you think is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
So this sounds like all of the Australian actors in Hollywood were like, hey, let's do an Australian movie about Australia. And it doesn't sound great. So I'm going to go a critic score of 40, an audience score of 32.
Honestly, higher than I would have expected and a little higher than you, at least on critic, audience a lot higher. Critic is 54%, so okay. Still bad. Audience is 65.
All right.
Like, almost average, because I did not expect it to be very good either.
Are the Australians bumping up that average?
Probably. The consensus is, built on lavish vistas and impeccable production, Australia is unfortunately burdened with thinly drawn characters and a lack of originality. Here's what the poster looks like. It looks like every smutty romance book you've ever seen on the shelves.
Yeah, if Gone with the Wind is a...
If they could say
a
cunt.
A Today poster. Oh, God.
If they could say cunt in Gone with the Wind. We went different directions on
we
that one.
Definitely did.
That's it.
I don't know if I've heard you drop the C word ever.
Well, I would never use it like as an insult. Because it just hits the ear so bad, but they love it in Australia.
They also love it in England.
Yes. Well, not as much, but it's really heavily used in Australia. Oh, I can't.
All right. We're done here. Moving on to the episode. Episode 9, Nothing Tastes Better Than $500. Surely you shouldn't be eating your $500.
Surely you shouldn't. Which actually, just getting that quote, I know what she was going for. It is funny. I'm gonna make fun of it just for a second.
Sure.
Nothing tastes better than $500 except $1 million. It's actually a lot of things in between 500 and a million that taste better than 500. 100,000.
I don't know.
That's second place.
There are some tacos up the street that taste pretty good.
Better than $500.
I can get those for like six.
Yeah, but would you rather have $500 or the tacos?
I can buy lots of tacos with $500.
Exactly. So the tacos don't taste better.
I see what you're getting at.
Money can be used for goods and services, Steven.
Wait. Money can be used for goods and or services. That's a Simpsons bit, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. We're off our rocker today.
Uh-huh. It's only going to get weirder from here, folks.
So, once again, Jeff is giving too much info in the recap.
Yes, he is.
Like, we need to condense the recap a little bit. Give pertinent information, but don't overexplain.
I don't want to know where the episode's going before it starts.
Yeah. Like, I truly am okay if you give a recap and you're like, hey, this happened last time, and previously, like, Sugar got an idol. Great. But I don't want to know who the target's going to be.
Yeah. Although, I didn't mind it as much for this episode because I knew who the target was going to be before I clicked play. There was no way Randy was sticking around. Sure. He's way too much of a piss baby in a bad position. Like, there are people that are just, once they're not in the majority, they are so volatile that they're the next to go every time.
And yeah.
And Randy's the patron saint amongst them.
In this situation, he kind of both earned it and pushed harder to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about taking your ball and going home. Although not really. We'll talk about it.
All right. Well, we start with Randy because Randy is the one kind of introing this, that the power is shifting. And I was a little caught off guard because I thought I was the target, but they made a smarter move and they got out Charlie, who had way more friends in this game than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, man, a season of just votes off of personal grievances was not what I was expecting this season. Charlie didn't go home because he was some master strategist. Charlie went home because Kenny was mad at him. And this episode, Randy goes home. I mean, it's the way he goes home is personal grievances. He went home because he's making everyone fucking miserable, and which isn't a personal grievance.
Sure.
But it's, man, this episode's insane.
And here's another Maddie can't read the room quite well, because he is celebrating this vote. He is having the time of his life, and Corinne and Randy are just sitting there like, fuck.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's, I think Maddie just gets overexcited.
He does.
He's like a kid in a candy shop. But then when he's like level-headed, he's the most level-headed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a it's a weird dichotomy.
He reaches these big, big moments of joy. And he never, like, he hits despair, but he doesn't, like, outwardly take it out on other people.
Yeah.
Like some other contestants
do. He's also, to his credit, had, like, one of the worst times in Survivor I can imagine. Like, he is, like, on par with, like, the Fiji tribe that had no food and got beat to shit, and there's a couple other seasons, but like with the lack of food at Fong, with the dysfunction, with the losing all of the challenges, never tribe swapping, like being on that tribe the entire time, and then the merge taking them back to the camp that he hates being at. It's so funny.
Yeah, and I can see kind of the arc of, oh, this is so miserable, oh, suddenly things are really good for me.
Yeah.
You might revel in that a little bit.
It has caused him to become the Joker and go insane.
Corinne says, I have to reevaluate tomorrow. Me, Bob, and Randy are going to go home. We don't know the order, but we got to do something, right?
I cannot believe that Randy and Corinne, and even Bob, to be honest, don't realize that Sugar has the idol. How do you not? How have you come to this conclusion that she can't have it? I don't understand. She was there for so long. Bob, you found it. You found the area in a day. Like, she was there 7 times or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
You underestimate her that much that you, like, that she couldn't have solved this because she's an idiot. I don't think Bob thinks she's an idiot, but still.
No, but I think if Randy and Corinne are like, I don't think she has it, that's one thing. For Bob to not immediately go on his second trip to exile, oh, she has it, then something's not right.
And Sugar, why does Bob tell Sugar he has a fake at all? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I actually like it. I think he is searching for any sort of way to pull favor.
Okay.
And I don't think you bring that to Maddie.
Agreed. I mean, if you're going to tell somebody outside of your alliance, Sugar is the person to tell. Mm-hmm. But to use his analogy, it's like you walked in with a gun to rob the bank and then went to the teller and went, my gun's not real, by the way. Like, she's the opposition. You could be using this to, like, bluff her.
Is she the opposition, though? Because she is kind of established as a floater here.
She is because of the numbers now.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to pull her over and make it 4-4.
It's fair. But I don't know.
I guess if he thinks Randy's going to go next and then maybe, like, try to get absorbed into them and make Sugar an ally. But it's also bizarre because she's very much like, no, Bob, don't worry. I know that that's a fake. I know you don't have the real one. And she still thinks, he still thinks that she doesn't have the idol. At least that we see. Maybe that's edited carefully. But, dude,
it could be a situation where he does know that she has it, and he's trying to pull favor with the person with the idol. It kind of like...
Maybe he does lock in on that moment.
It's a double play of, hey, I want to be friends with you. Here's this secret that I have.
But if you know she has it, then why did you take the clue at exile? Why would you not take comfort?
I agree. I don't think he knows it until at least after his second trip.
Maybe it's just doing everything. Like, I'm gonna do everything I can again.
Mm-hmm.
Although you can take the comfort and then still go look for the idol. You know the area it's in. You don't need another clue.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah. Anyway, it just blows my mind. Sugar might have the best threat management of anyone I can remember. Like Sandra Pearl Islands level of threat management.
Mm.
Except Sandra's was more active of being like, no, throw this person under the bus. And Sugar's much more stand on the ball in Mario Party and everyone just rolls off the cliff because they think she's stupid.
But she is starting to actively make moves now.
Yes, I do worry if she gets the final tribal outside of this move too. Like, you have to then convince everyone that you are playing them the whole time, which is, that is the downside of threat management. Because it's also, like, worthiness management.
Yeah. Speaking of Sugar, Sugar wants Randy gone bad. Like, real, real bad. And, like you said, this is where they show the fake idol. And Sugar says, huh, maybe Bob is actually the evil genius. I might not be the evil one. It might just be Bob. Crazy.
It's also crazy that she's just having this conversation in a robe with a coffee cup. Like, how far we've come from the first couple days of Gabon.
Corinne and Randy lament that there's only two of
they have this whole conversation where they're like, well, don't they know they can't all be final three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing that screwed you over, actually, was you made it very obvious that the people at the bottom of your alliance would not make final three.
Right.
They didn't even need a pecking order challenge for this to happen.
Yeah, they're kind of looking at this group here, and they're like, we got immunity idols, we got huge physical threats. I personally am planning on being my same charming self, says Randy.
Okay.
And yeah, these people, we hate these people. We despise them, but we need somebody to work with us. So they go and they push Maddie to try to join them.
Why would he do that? You gotta try.
You gotta try. And I think the argument is sound. Hey, Crystal and Ken and who is their third?
Susie
are a lock three. You're outside of that. You got to do something.
But if I'm Maddie, my thought is I just need to get to four, and I'm not going to lose another immunity challenge with the with the three of them.
That's fair. I see what you're saying.
Or at least I'm not, depends on the challenge always, of course, but I like those odds. Mm-hmm. You know,
anyway, we then get tree mail that says, it's the Survivor Auction.
Thank God. They're still around.
Get ready. Corinne says, I'm not spending a dime unless it's on an advantage. Yeah, nothing tastes better than $500, except a million.
This auction is interesting.
Ooh, go on.
I think this is the start of the auction starting to unravel. I think putting advantages in it was a bad idea.
Really?
I think food is enough of an advantage, and it makes people hold their money for, like, in-game advantages and not bid on food enough.
Okay.
Also, we needed more items, I think.
Yes. And again, I feel like I've said this before, but I like what Survivor did rebalancing the auction. Like, in late seasons, they did something that makes it really interesting.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit more random.
Because they don't do auctions anymore, right?
They brought it back.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Like, just the last couple seasons they brought it back.
Oh, okay.
So, you're right. Eventually, they do kind of die off. But I like the new iteration of the auction.
Cool.
So, rules are similar, but I want to make it clear. Increments of $20, no pooling, and no sharing your items.
I like the rules.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. So, first item, beer and peanuts. A quick $180 to Randy.
And Sugar's just bidding to run up the score, yeah. Which I thought that's what she was doing.
It's pretty good. What does she want beer and peanuts for? I mean, maybe she wants.
I mean, it'd be better than nothing, you know?
That's fair, which is what some people got. Two, it's covered. So we bid, and Kenny gets it, and he gets to send someone to exile and take their money. So he sends Bob to exile. And gets his money, which is all of his money.
Yeah.
I don't mind this one, but I want it to be a little later here.
I agree.
Because everyone has full money.
But But I do understand you can't, if you always have it towards the end, then everyone's going to be waiting for it.
Sure.
Mixing it up. I like when it's at the end, but you do need some seasons where it's in the beginning to keep people on their toes.
I get what you're saying. The third item also covered. It went $340 to Sugar.
No bad items.
No bad items.
All the covered items were good.
Mm-hmm. Sugar gets chocolate and peanut butter. Hell yeah. That always looks so good.
It looks so good.
Like chocolate bars just drenched in peanut butter.
And that protein. Oh.
Ugh.
Sugar's so well fed.
Four, a hot bath to just hang out in. And a clean set of clothes. That's big.
That's big. I don't know why. I don't know. The bathing in front of everybody is just always weird.
Kind of weird. And Susie wins it for $340. Randy says, I'll bid $100 to bathe you.
Gross.
That's
a woman that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
They're not close. He hates her.
This isn't Eric sucking the fingers. This is,
well,
like,
that was different. That was like, we can make fun of Eric. That didn't feel creepy. That felt like, I need food.
Give I want me, that I, food.
Literally
yeah.
anything.
I want this chocolate is, cake.
There's no caloric advantage to bathing Susie.
No. In fact, you're losing calories
it's
bathing
just
a person.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't remember what item it is, but Randy was bidding on something and Sugar looks at Kenny or whoever it was and just goes, that's all he has.
Mm-hmm.
She is going after him.
She's going after him. Sugar also says in this bath bid to Kenny, you should have gone for that, Kenny. I would have cuddled with you if you had new clothes on.
And Kenny's penis grew 3 sizes that day.
Kenny says, would you cuddle with a rich man?
That's a good retort.
Oh, man. Okay, anyway. Number 5, burger and fries and soda. $400 to Maddie.
At this point, I wrote down, like, Kenny, what are you waiting on?
Exactly.
You have so much money.
There's no reason not to just say $500 right there. Or $520, because no one can outbid you.
Yeah.
Number 6, it was covered. It's $280 to Randy. Everyone expected it to be a bad one because we hadn't seen a bad one.
I expected it to be a bad one.
It is spaghetti, garlic bread, and a glass of wine.
I haven't eaten lunch yet, and fuck, I'd give $280 for that spaghetti right now.
It does sound real good.
I wouldn't, actually.
Number 7, it is the advantage in the challenge. $500 to Corinne. Like, boom, done.
Sure. But again, Kenny, what are you waiting on?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it doesn't necessarily matter who gets, like, Corinne can get that to try to save herself, but like, as you want one of the three of them gone, it doesn't matter which one it is necessarily. It's got to be Randy because he's a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, number 8, it is covered, but it's for the tribe. $20. You get it for everyone.
Before we talk about that, Susie gets out of the bath really early.
Yeah.
Because it's too hot. And I'm like, what are you doing? Sit on the side of it. Like, wait to cool down and then get back in. Like, this is the only bath you've had, and you will not get another one for, hopefully, in your mind, 10 more days.
I think she was naked, so she couldn't just, like, sit on the side of the bath. I think
there are some contestants that would have anyway.
Oh, 100%. Like, you put Amanda on the side there, she probably would have just, like, hung out and said, whatever, they're going to blur me out
anyway. I
was going
to say, her bits were exposed the whole season anyway.
The blur Amanda strikes again.
Rich would have been naked at the auction part of it.
That is true.
Yeah.
He would just do it for fun. He would pay money to be naked on Survivor.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, the cookie bit.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing, too, to be like, first person that gives $20. Like, what? Why did they do this?
It's a very generous production move.
It is.
And I don't mind it. It's weird how it played out, though.
And that's not their fault.
No.
But then just make it free. Just be like, and if for the end of the Survivor auction, cookies, come get your cookies. Like, one person, the quickest person to give $20, then doing it for the tribe, then also kind of has power over it, is just bizarre. It's halfway between both things of a gift and the auction.
Honestly, if they wanted this to cause some sort of fissure, they give it to the first person who does it, or just let them bid on it, and it's 4 cookies or 3 cookies, and you can distribute them to whoever you want.
Yeah, or something where you, like, you either keep them all for yourself or you give them to everyone else but yourself. But then the choice is really obvious, and I don't always love that. So right.
This is the letters from home video right. that we did before.
Yeah, where it's, you're always going to give it to everybody else, because if not, you're dead in the water.
You look real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So or cars in Guatemala.
Randy wins this and starts distributing the cookies. Well, first he says, can I just keep them all for myself? And Jeff goes, what? No. Why? It's for everyone.
Because he's a dick. Yeah. Because he got the little bit of power and was a dick with it.
So then Sugar first denies the cookie. And then so he goes around, whatever, I'm going to give them to everybody else.
And, you know, why would Sugar deny it? Well, she just had a fuck ton of chocolate and peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she wants more sweets? Like, that'd probably make her sick.
And she fucking hates Randy.
And she fucking hates Randy.
Taking a gift from the man that she does not like. I get it.
Yeah.
And then once all the cookies have been distributed, does he give two to Corinne?
I think so. And then he gives like half of one to Maddie.
That's it. He gives half to Maddie. He gives the other half to Corinne. Or he has
Yeah, Corinne has one and a half. And then Maddie has a half. And yeah. Randy's going to take the last one.
Yeah. And then he offers it to Sugar one more time. Like, are you sure you don't want this? And then Sugar says, fine, I'll take it. And then gives it to Maddie.
It's pretty funny. Because Maddie wanted a full cookie. Yeah. And then he only gave him half.
I think Randy was left with a half of a cookie.
Maybe.
But either way, he still didn't get a full cookie.
He fucked it up so bad in every possible way and then became a piss baby about it.
You know what, Jared?
What?
I kind of get it. I kind of get being the piss baby about it.
Really?
Yeah. I know that...
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I should let you bury yourself.
I could see myself walking into this situation of, hey, I know you don't like me, but here, take the cookie. I don't want this to be like a shitty situation. And then it gets taken away, and then suddenly you have nothing. And then you're like, well, fuck. Come on, man.
Two problems with that.
Uh-huh.
You're not Randy. You don't treat people in such a way that they're going to reject a free fucking cookie while they're starving. So this situation would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't be a weird, like, all you need to do is leave the plate on the fucking table with Jeff and say, everyone come up and grab one. Like, this would never happen with you because you wouldn't make it fucking weird.
I see what you're saying.
You wouldn't make it a weird dickish power trip where everyone needs to kiss the ring to get a cookie.
Kiss the ring. You know what would have been a fun little bit to do there? Put a clue to an advantage in one of the cookies.
Inside of it?
Well, yeah, because then it's like, hey, everyone gets one. Have a cookie. And then at that point, it's just random who gets the advantage.
Yeah, that's true. Be interesting.
A little something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then Randy tips Jeff $20.
Does he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he walks up and puts 20 on the table before he walks away. Like he's closing out his tab at a dive bar.
Sure. What are you going to do with what does he have left? Not a whole lot of money.
I mean, maybe it was just 20 left, but it's... And, like, Jeff pockets it awkwardly. It's so weird.
I like it, Jeff. You take that money.
His face is like, why? Okay.
I think that's a funny bit.
If Randy was, like, a different person, it would have been funny, but it's just kind of weird because
mm-hmm.
he's weird about it.
So then we get back to camp, and this is again Maddie not reading the room very well. Maddie says, thank you, Sugar, for the righteous cookie gift. And Randy is standing right next to him, was like,
okay,
the fuck, dude, were you watching? That was my cookie.
Yeah, because you were a dick about it. Sugar's the one that gave it to him.
Yeah. And he says to us, I left the auction broke, full, half drunk, and pissed off.
Sounds like a normal Saturday for me.
Hey, I'm going to burn this house down over the next day or so because I know that I'm going.
Okay. I'm surprised he didn't, like, set the house on fire or, like, throw their beans in the river or something stupid.
That is a thing that could have been done. And Sugar reacted to this. Have you seen a grown man get so upset over a cookie?
It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
I would be hurt too. I want that cookie.
But again, like, you even the way you framed it, you had humility of like, hey, I know we don't like each other very much. This whole thing would never have happened because she would just take a cookie because you were humble about it. And we're sure. Like, hey, I know there's tension. It's fine. You're not Randy, Stephen. Randy did this to himself.
Sugar says, I took it because he didn't want to give me a cookie. He wanted to give everyone else a cookie because Sugar is evil.
I don't understand that because you did turn it down twice before that. I don't really understand that opinion of hers, but okay.
All right. Oh, boy. And yeah, Randy kind of talks a little bit, talks to Maddie. Like, no one will talk to me. No one listens to me. And
nobody wants to talk to you because you're mean to them all the time. And Randy actually reminds me a little bit of Bruce from Panama of like, you think that people agreeing with you is them listening to you. Mm. Like Bruce is a way chiller guy and way nicer, but like that sort of like pupil thing where he was treating everyone as his pupils. Like Randy's treating everybody as if they're subservient to him and need to like, he mistakes listening and obeying. Yeah.
So Randy and Corinne also still trying to pitch Maddie like, hey, fifth place isn't bad. You can take fifth place. That's pretty good, my man. But you could work with us and get to three.
How? And also, no. And also, ew. I don't know. Like, I don't think he thinks he's going to be fifth. And I don't think that the numbers on that in that fivesome are that cut and dry. That's what makes successful alliances is not having a super obvious hierarchy. And I don't think there's an obvious hierarchy in those five. Kenny and Crystal are tight. But the other three are wild cards.
So we flip over to Exile, and Bob, like I said, goes for the clue and realizes it's the extra clue that he already got. Like, it just points him to the next clue. So, boom. All right, great.
Complete waste of his time.
So he says, whatever, I'm going to just go out and explore then.
Beautiful.
He walks up some rolling hills. He becomes the Lion King for a little bit.
It's so cool. This scenery is so good.
Gives him time to think about family and how beautiful Africa is.
And has this, like, this is the cool confession spot of the season. Him just sitting in a downed tree.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. All right. Yeah. Maddie talks to the group a little bit about who we push. And he says, Randy's a no-brainer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. But Bob is way more dangerous. Maybe we push for Bob here. And Sugar goes, no.
Maddie's like, absolutely please. Not. Or Sugar's like, absolutely not. Yeah.
Can we please just get rid of the evil man?
The one that's making our lives hell every minute we're here. It's so funny because Randy doesn't know this conversation's happening, and it might have gone the other way if he didn't act like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have. I think Sugar's running this game right now. I don't know if that's going to last, but the last few episodes and several other individual episodes as well, Sugar is running this game. She's running this game so hard in this episode that she does a victory lap. She doesn't just get rid of Randy. She humiliates him.
She's full on, what's the Halo bit? Teabagging. She's full on teabagging him.
She's accomplishing stretch goals.
So Randy then says, all right, well, everyone hates me. Let's just keep it going then. And says, I'm crashing and burning today. Let's make everyone miserable.
The plan is to be exactly the same as you were. Cool.
His only prayer is for Bob to give me the idol. So let's see what we can do here. And honestly, it's not a bad strategy to pull aggro and say, okay, if it's going to be me now or it's going to be later, let's see what we can do here.
If you think there's a chance you get the hidden immunity idol, it's not a terrible strategy, as long as it's a strategy and not just you being terrible. But you've been terrible so far before. Crystal kind of says it in tribal. She's like, if this is who he is, I never want to talk to him again after this. If it's a strategy, well, okay, that's his strategy.
Mm-hmm.
She actually kind of separates the game from that, interestingly enough. And there's this weird moment, there's this weird scene where they're all talking, I think we jumped it, where they're all talking about the like, we have to get rid of Randy. No, we should get rid of Bob. And then Randy walks over and is just leaning in the door frame
for a little bit.
And nobody says anything. And the music under it is bizarre. It feels like a David Lynch film. They just popped into the middle of the Survivor episode.
That one did seem like an editing trick of like,
I agree.
There's no, we're focused on the person who's not talking and we're just removing the sound.
Yeah, probably.
If it is the way that is, then that's real awkward. Yeah. And
But it's believable that it's that awkward.
It is believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Randy then goes on his killing spree and says, you know what, Maddie? Susie's an idiot. She can't yawn without making a noise. Jeez.
Okay.
There's not a normal person among everybody here, except for you. And even you hoard yourself out. Maddie's like, don't do this, dude. Come on, man.
See, this is the moment I'm talking where I'm like, Maddie's actually the most rational. And there's a couple of different times that. So as long as he's just like chill, he can diffuse. If he's excited, he's going to say something stupid. But yeah, don't do this.
Yeah, he continues to push the cookies and Maddie's like, just don't. Please stop. And Crystal, once again, saying he needs to go. He's a troll. He is wreaking havoc.
Oh. The goofy music they put under the confessionals of Randy talking about this plan is so funny because we all know it's not going to work. We all know that Sugar has the idol. Mm-hmm. And so they just put like circus music under him being like, and Bob's going to have the idol and it's going to be great.
So then we have an immunity challenge. We are racing across balance beams carrying puzzle blocks. The first two people to finish that with all three bags, so basically run those balance beams three times, we'll move on to the second round where you're arranging puzzle blocks on a domino bridge with multi-angled platforms while avoiding tripwires that will knock them over. And then you push them all in domino succession to knock a ball into a basket.
It's a cool challenge.
It is a cool
the
challenge.
The second part of it's a cool challenge.
Yes.
The like pushing the bridges over to make the balance beam was also a cool image the first time they do it. Yeah.
For the brief moment that it happened. Like, well, wow, okay, fun.
But there's dominoes later in the challenge, so it like works thematically. And it's just,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's cool.
I didn't even think about that. Okay. Makes sense. Also, Corinne, we get to find out what her secret advantage is. And she gets to move directly to the final round. Screw these balance beams. I just want to play with the dominoes.
Yep. And once again, I mean, I talked about how Maddie can win immunities at the end, but like our immunity winners are Susie and Kenny because it was a fire making challenge and then a dexterity slash like puzzle challenge.
Yeah. I want to give Maddie credit on this balance beam section. He just sprinted it.
Yeah. There, it was unclear to me how Jeff was grading whether they made it or not because Bob took a hard fall.
He did take a hard fall.
But he was across the line.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny jumped and didn't make it across the line, but Kenny was fine and Bob wasn't.
I honestly don't know because I wasn't paying close enough attention. It's either some portion of you, whatever touches first, has to cross that line.
Yeah, maybe.
Or whatever touches first, the entirety of that has to cross the line. Mm. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter, but I was just like, oh, okay.
It's all Jeff deciding.
Oh, I forgot one thing from the previous section. Randy tells us that he's 49. That is a rough 49. It's not a terrible 49, but Sugar calls him an alcoholic later. And I was like, that is kind of like having known slightly older people that have drank a lot of alcohol. That does kind of fit. I don't know if it's true, but I was just like, I thought Randy was like in his 50s at least, like late, like mid to late 50s at least.
Sure.
Yeah. Also notoriously bad at ages.
That is also true. Yeah, and like you said, Maddie does really well, and Kenny also does extremely well in this, and they're the two that move on to face Corinne in the final. The final, like you said, very interesting. I think this is a fun challenge, and they do bring this back.
Okay.
So, two different strategies. One, Maddie and Corinne are going right down the line. All right, push it, push it, push it. Kenny goes all the way to the back.
Yeah.
Which I like better.
Me too. It tripped him up there for a second, but I like it better.
Yeah. And he pushes all the way to the back. He sets up his things. Because then when you're going to retrieve the additional dominoes, because you can only carry so many.
Yeah.
You're pushing further through the tripwires to then go get the dominoes. It makes it easier for you at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is why Kenny,
and if you trip up early, you have less to restack than if you trip up later.
Mm-hmm. I guess when I say it that way, it didn't matter all that much because all three of them get a push together.
True. Like, but Kenny takes two chances and the other two only take one.
That's a good point. Okay. He does get an extra shot at it. So props to him. The all three of them pushing at the same time, kind of fun. I would be
Yeah.
real. I would love to see what would happen had multiple of them worked.
Tiebreaker? I mean, I think it's just whichever one did
whichever
it first.
Ball yeah. falls in first.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever flag comes up first.
That's fair.
Yeah, because you have that very obvious thing to see.
Yeah. So Corinne and Maddie's both stop, but Kenny's goes all the way. So he wins. And Randy says, I'm 75% sure I need the idol. I'd feel guilty if Bob went home and I stayed. He does have a heart.
Yeah. He's just an angry old man.
Yeah.
And I've trashed Randy a lot. And this next section will just be dogpiling on Randy, both the episode and probably me. I want to say that, like, I don't know the person, though it seems like there's a lot of evidence that that makes me kind of sad about his state of life at this point in his life of, you know, in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he, like, turned a corner and, like, turned things around. And it sounds like he's very active in the community and is, like, very kind now. So I hope that Survivor is, like, really positive for him afterwards. Maybe getting to see that reflection on TV of, like, is this what I sound like? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get some emails about it.
Yeah. So here's where Sugar pushes Bob.
Yeah.
Because Bob is like, hey, I have this fake idol. What can we do here? And Sugar's like, whoa, 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 hold on. You know, it'd be the funniest shit ever.
So a couple of things. One, Bob is so, like, it looks like Bob's veins are trying to leave his skin.
Yeah.
He is not looking great.
He's a skinny boy.
Yeah. But outside of that, I remember thinking, why are they showing us, beginning of this episode, the fake idol? In the next time on, or on the this time on, this episode. Because it doesn't make any sense. Bob has it. So, why, like, we're not going after Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I did not predict that Sugar, like, I predicted Randy was going home. I didn't expect this. And I certainly didn't expect Bob to go along with it, though it's very smart for Bob to go along with it. This is cold, man. This is cold.
Bob is looking to pull some favor, and if Sugar is willing to give it, and just like any sort of in at this point. All right, great. Let's, here, take my fake idol. I will give it to Randy. He'll do whatever he wants with it. And then
this is where Bob should know for sure that Sugar has the idol. Cause she says, oh, I believe you don't have the idol,
yeah,
Bob.
Don't worry about
it. You don't
it.
Need to worry about it. That was so telling.
Bob says, my life expectancy is a little bit better off allowing her to have the satisfaction of me giving Randy the idol.
And it makes Sugar look worse. Why not?
Yeah. So Bob, he talks to Corinne first, doesn't he? Where Corinne kind of runs the conversation and Bob just kind of says nothing.
She assumes he has the idol.
Yeah.
Like, and he just nods. He doesn't actually say, yes, I found it.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I mean, that will help you in like a court of law. I think Corinne's still going to think you lied to her.
Yeah. And then we get to the Randy scene with Randy and Bob, and Randy's kind of playing it slow, like, hey, it's your call. I want, it's your idol, so, like, do whatever you want with it. And, but, hey, if you give it to me and you make it to the final and I don't, I'll absolutely give you a vote to win $1 million.
I still think that's true. Even with him, Randy getting fucked over like this because of Bob's face after it happened, and a very easy, like, yeah, man, I did what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. Randy says, this is one of the most selfless acts I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, oh.
This is where it starts to get a little sad.
Oh, if only you knew. There will be some surprise people's faces tonight.
There sure will be.
There's gonna be. It's unfortunately gonna be you.
Yeah. Is this the most spite-driven move we've seen in Survivor thus far? I think it is.
I think it is, too.
Like, this is an elaborate plan to get the same result, but just to hurt his feelings more. Just to give him false hope so you can crush it.
I guess you could also maybe say Sue in All Stars. That is very spite-driven and anger-driven.
What do you mean?
Her quitting the game?
Yeah, but that's, I think that's more trauma driven than spite.
But like, to blow up your own game to fuck that guy, well, okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe this is the more spiteful.
Yeah, that one was an emotional reaction to being harassed. This is, I guess it's kind of the same. It's also an emotional reaction to being harassed, kind of. Oh.
And then
no,
Sugar and Bob talk one last time.
Just not sexually harassed.
Yes. Sugar and Bob talk one last time before Tribal, and Sugar says, you're a genius. And Bob responds, make it worth my while, please. Oh, I will, says Sugar.
Oh, man, this tribal's juicy.
It is. So we flip to tribal, and we talk about the cookie once again. Randy said he was testing Sugar about the cookie.
He also, yeah, and then he said, like, that he was being generous. No, you weren't. They were cookies Jeff explicitly said were for the whole tribe. You not throwing them in the dirt and stomping on them is not generosity. Mm-hmm. It's doing the bare minimum you are expected to do.
Here's the cookie that production very much told me to give to you.
Yeah. It's not generosity for me not to set your house on fire. What are we talking about?
We also... Oh, this Susie conversation is mm-hmm. rough.
It's a hard one.
Because Susie, also a person, no love is lost for Randy.
No.
Clearly, Randy does not like Susie. Susie doesn't like Randy. And Susie says, you know, we're really seeing people's true colors here. And Randy, like, this could just be him in the game. This could be him as a person. He's probably actually hurting. And I kind of feel sorry for him because in reality, he's probably just very sad.
And I think she's right. And it's not, I don't think it's concern trolling, which, like, for those of you that don't know, concern trolling is where you, like, you pretend that you care about somebody to fuck with them. Like this, where you'll be like, oh, you must just be so sad. And it's like, but you're doing it because you know it's going to hurt their feelings. This felt kind of genuine. And Susie talked about it earlier in the episode, too, where she was like, he's just, it's kind of sad to watch him just be so mean and so bitter and just push everyone away.
Mm-hmm. And the conversation kind of continues on. Crystal says, you disrespected a grown woman. To me, that's hands down grounds for a slap.
Under different circumstances, implying if there wasn't a rule that physical violence gets you kicked off the show, I would have slapped you already.
And this is where she says, if this is you, if this is Randy, then he's giving it to me raw.
Yeah.
And I'll never speak to him again after
phrasing,
this game.
Crystal, phrasing.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. That's one of the worst instances of phrasing I can remember.
I mean, it's kind of what she means, is like, he's absolutely, like, fucking me over here. And
Well, fair enough.
I hate him. And, I'll never talk to this guy again.
And I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart.
Bob says, I've made a point of not letting people know if I have the idol or not. And, And then we get to the votes. The votes are pretty rough.
Yeah.
Because Sugar says in her confessional, you're a disgusting, old, hot-headed, chauvinistic, alcoholic bigot, and you need to grow up before you die alone. And then pulls out the old L, loser. What a 2000s thing.
What a 2000s thing. I don't know, Randy. I would say from his behavior on the show, it's mean, but not unwarranted.
Sure.
Like, I would say, like, I don't know about his, like, drinking. I'm assuming like maybe he talked about it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, like, we've seen him be chauvinistic. We've seen him be a bigot. We've seen all of these things.
Right. Randy's vote, he reads, this vote is not strategic. It's strictly personal.
Yes, it is.
And then my favorite vote of the night.
Oh, yes.
Crystal walking up to the voting confessional at the top of her voice. You have made my life hell since day one. Forget you. Go home. Goodbye. And everyone is laughing at this point.
Yeah.
It's,
they're shocked, too. They're like, oh, my God.
Like, oh, I didn't know she was allowed to do that. So then we finish up the votes.
It's such a petty season.
And Randy plays the fake idol. And Sugar and Crystal are trying so hard to keep it together.
I know. I so badly wanted him to give some type of speech of be like, you thought you guys had me, I've been playing you for days, but
no.
He just does it in smug silence. So Crystal and Sugar were the only ones that knew about this besides Bob then, because I remember Crystal saying, or Sugar saying to somebody of like, tonight's gonna blow your mind.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone knew, because I made a note of saying, hey, this is a weird situation where Randy gets up to play an idol and every single person on that bench is happy.
Well, Kenny and Crystal already know that Sugar has the idol, so he can't have one.
Right.
Bob knows because he gave it to her. Obviously, like, Corinne and Randy don't know. That leaves, like, Susie.
Maybe I take it back. Bob being the only person who was unhappy with him playing the idol, because he orchestrated it, but he didn't like it.
Bob had regret the entire time.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, felt really bad, because he votes for Randy, right?
No, he votes for Susie.
He does. Uh-huh. Okay, because Sugar does say to him, like, it might behoove you to vote for Randy tonight.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Sugar's laughing, Bob looks sick, but Randy goes home.
His face, when it changes, was, and then he has to sit there while his hope was crushed in real time, and he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
He was, one of his closest allies made him look like a fool, and he has to sit there through all of the votes that he knows are not going to go his way.
Mm-hmm.
Woof, man.
This is a 5-3 line.
Okay.
That he goes out. How do you think Randy does in Future Survivor?
Ooh. Ooh. I don't think he usually makes it this far, Steven. yeah. I mean, he is surprisingly good at challenges, and that does help him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we see these people, not even every season, but it seems like every other season or so, that when they're in power, they're okay or good. I think he's just okay. And then when they lose power, they self-destruct.
Mm.
And he was already on people's shit list before he lost power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the minute that he's not in the majority, he's probably gone. He's usually the first boot on the Minority Alliance. And usually, I think the first boot from the Majority Alliance, you know, they might go after, like, a challenge beast inside their own alliance, but then Randy's gonna go. His best case scenario is getting dragged to the end as a goat because he rubs people the wrong way, but I think he's usually gone before the merge. He is a tribe cancer, and he got really lucky with the people around him that he got along with enough of them, and the ones he didn't get along with were able to, like, peacefully cohabitate, like Susie, so that didn't cause major problems until post-merge. Major problems. But yeah, I mean, he's usually gone before the merge, I think.
Yeah. So he is playing again.
What?
He's going to be on our villains tribe in Heroes versus Villains.
Oh, God. Okay.
And this is, again, where I want to highlight that we're not getting the full scope of people's personality.
Of course.
This is Randy in a game show that is stressful.
Under
horrible
conditions.
Yeah.
With people that he has legitimate grievances with that might have already gone home, but, like, that did cause friction. Like, Randy was right on a lot of the GC stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do I give him credit on all of his actions? Of
no,
course not.
No.
But here is a picture that I want to show you that is pretty adorable. It's he adopted, how many was this? Hold on. I'm going to make sure I get this right. He adopted, like, a ton of puppies.
Aww.
And named them all after Gabon castmates, like the Marcus, or like the,
like Dan.
Dan one.
Yeah.
So we have, here's a picture of him with Charlie, Marcus, Corinne, Kenny, Maddie, Ace, Kelly, Jackie, Dan, Jillian, and Paloma. Look at all them puppies.
That's cute.
It's really cute.
He looks healthier.
Yeah.
Like, in that photo, I don't know when that was taken, like, he looks healthier in that photo than at the start of Gabon. And, like, if his life was really not in a good spot from what it would seem from his behavior on TV and not getting letters and no contact with family, but there's a lot of reasons to be no contact with family. I'm not saying that he's necessarily the bad guy there. I genuinely hope that by Heroes versus Villains, he's sort of turned over a new leaf.
Yeah. Fascinating that that excludes Sugar, Susie, Bob, and Crystal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, Bob not being in there, sad though.
I mean, he did. Fuck
did,
him over
he,
here.
He did what he had to do.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he will be back, so we won't need any more information there. Your protagonist of the episode.
I mean, it's Sugar, right? Like, you could argue Randy, but Sugar's the one who sets up this fake idol situation that, frankly, might have just tanked her chances of winning this game, but it got her the satisfaction in the moment.
It sure did. Cool. Anything else, Jared? What a ride that was.
What a ride that was. I hope I wasn't too, like, I, like, genuinely just feel bad for Randy. Like, the man we see is, like, a broken, sad, bitter old man. At least the character that we see.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We've beaten it to death that, like, this isn't the entirety of Randy.
Yeah.
And there are good things in Randy's life and there are good people around him and he has the capacity to be good too.
Everyone can grow and change.
Yeah. So there's that.
And the puppies are cute.
And the puppies are so cute. Anyway, bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you want to promote?
By the time this episode comes out, auditions should be live for Black Cat Theater's next show, right back to back because of rental schedules. Our first full-length production, Quinlan Can Paint. We're looking for one trans woman, two cis women in their like mid to late 30s, or at least that can play their mid to late 30s. So if you know anybody, or if you are somebody that fits that demographic, it'll be on the audition post. Will be on our Instagram, Black Cat Theater Chai, and theaterinchicago.com. So yeah, come audition for us. And if not, like, come see the show.
Yeah.
But that'll be in August.
I don't fit any of those, so.
No, you do not. Unless some things have changed about you that I do not know.
No.
Okay. What about you, Steven? What do you want to promote?
I'm going to promote playoff season. We love playoffs. We love sports. So go out. This is the weird time where so many sports are overlapping and baseball is happening. It's not the full sports. What's it called when all the planets line up?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It's not the full sports alignment like it is in the fall, but right now we have baseball, we have hockey, we have basketball, we got all sorts of things. I guess there is spring football going on right now.
Oh, that's true. Like, not arena football. Is it XFL?
It's the UFL.
UFL, okay.
Yeah, UFL is the new, like, that's the spring professional league.
That's where we got our kicker, the Lions.
That's where, right now, Rodrigo Blankenship, the guy with the specs, is kicking ass.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, I want that man back in the NFL.
I mean, kicking translates pretty one-to-one. Yes. Like, there's other positions where it's like, well, you were a good wide receiver in the UFL, but the competition is higher in the NFL, and it's like, you're kicking the ball.
Yeah.
It's the same size field.
No, he's pretty consistently making from 55, 54, 53, so... Mm. Get that man an NFL contract.
I like the goggles, too.
I like the goggles. Oh. And the fact that he's just a big old nerd.
Yeah, that's cool. I did forget one thing from the episode. It's the next time on.
Hmm.
Marcus had the idol, maybe? Or that's the lie that Bob is telling when, like, oh, he threw it in the ocean, but he actually put it in his pocket. Like, what the fuck? No, he didn't, because then he would still be safe. Anyway.
We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah.
For my co-host, Jared, this is Steven.
For my host, Steven, this is Jared.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes, quite.
Money.